This morning, we're going to pick back up in the book of Zephaniah, and we'll be coming from the second chapter. And this, again, this message is a message that is one that is very intense, and is dealing with the judgment that God has given his manservant or prophet here to deliver unto the people. And it's really sad, you know, when I look at this, it's sad because it's like they had God's word and they just didn't cherish it well enough to take heed. And so before I actually pick up in Zephaniah, I just want to read something. And I'm not even going to tell you in the beginning where it comes from, but I'm going to read it. And then I'll tell you after having read it. And this is centuries before this took place, where Zephaniah had to deliver this message. And this particular verse reads as follows. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. That passage, or that particular verse, came from Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. You all are trying to help me with that, but I don't know why as a child I said it that way and it's just stuck. We call that fossilization in linguistics anyway. Yeah. So that's Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter and the 28th verse. Isn't that something that God knows everything before it happens. God can tell us the end before the beginning starts. God is so wonderful. He told them that. I'm skipping again. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and I'm just going to read the 37th verse. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. He's talking about all nations. Y'all look up here at this map that we got for a second. Before the Israelites went to capture this land, this was known as Cana. We knew that there were many lands. They were down here in Egypt. And they wanted to come through, but some of the other nations wouldn't let them come through peaceably. And God said to them at that time, said, when you go up again, he said, I want you to possess it. But some of these nations, God's already telling them, all of these nations that really don't want your presence there, and especially the Canaanites that don't want you coming in and take the land, you're going to be a byword to them. God said, I want you to go in and take it. But this is what's going to happen. Let's look at another couple of verses from this particular text right here. The 49th and the 50th verse. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, far from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, and shall not regard the person of old, nor shall favor the young. God was saying, and that could have pertained to different nations right there, because when I was looking, one part it looked like it's talking about Egypt, but God is telling them, when you don't keep my word, because he's like, I know what's going to happen. Some of your hearts are going to fail. You're going to get out there, and you're just going to turn your eyes from me. Lord have mercy, and you will be taken by another nation. That's centuries before. And so here again, I just wanted to kind of bring that up to show that God is a good God. And he was telling him, in other words, when I give you my word, it's very important. You told Moses when he was standing by the mountain, all that the Lord said, we will do. Have we made any type of confession or anything of the such to God? God, I thank you for what you have done in my life, how you have cleansed me from my past, and how you set me on the straight and narrow, and now I will keep it. Lord, what you told me to do, how you told me to live, I will walk in your precepts, I will meditate in your word, so that I will have the power and the strength by the Holy Spirit to keep your word and live as you told me to live. I think we've made similar profession to God, or promise, if you will. And we need to look at God's pattern and what he's done. Now I want to read, before going into Zephaniah, the second chapter, I want to read Zephaniah, the first chapter, in the 12th verse. We looked at it last week, but just to kind of say, where are we, and what has already been said from some of the people that's hearing this message? Listen at this. Zephaniah, the first chapter, 12th verse. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. They say, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. They lived lives for centuries under kings that were evil. Many of them were evil, and under priests that were telling them lies, and they had this apathetic attitude that I'm here and God loves me, or God is not going to do anything to me. We have a God who is king, and when there are precepts, or when there is laws, if you will, he is going to keep his laws. He is just. He is righteous. If he did not keep his laws, can you understand that that would mean he is not just? God's wisdom, God's justice is not like that of man's. He is merciful, but he is going to keep his word. They had all of this knowledge. What we read from Deuteronomy, they knew about that. The kings knew about that. But here they are living lives of apathetic, because sometimes God won't do something speedily. We feel like we are in the clear. Let's not take God for granted like that. Lord have mercy. So we're going to pick back up now in the second chapter and look at the severity of what God's message is. This is a hard text to swallow because it does not seem to let up. God has judged. When he created heaven and earth, he had things like he wanted. He has things like he wanted right now, but he wants it to be pure. That purity is to be seen in your and my life, that God's word can be lived and kept. Here we go. I think I will read from the 18th verse, and then I'm going into the second chapter, first verse. Listen at this. This is God talking about the people who felt like because they had gods and because they had wealth and because they had silver, that God wasn't going to do anything. God said, all that you got, all that you amassed unto you, your false prophets and your little land and the vineyards that you planted, it ain't going to help you at all when I visit to wreak havoc on you like I said I will. It's not going to help you. Listen to what he says. Neither their silver nor gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. The day of the Lord's wrath speaks of when he is upset, when he is mad, when he is angry, when he is coming to clean up and purify this world of wickedness. He is upset because Satan has had so much time and his people have listened to his word. Listen to this. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all of them that dwell in the land. In other words, Jerusalem, here I come. Lord, have mercy and get ready. The second chapter in the first verse. Gather yourselves together, yea. Gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. There's a repetition here. Gather yourselves together. Gather yourselves together. In other words, God is giving them a command whether they want to come or not. You're going to get together because I'm declaring war against you. He says this day is coming to pass and there is nothing that you have and nothing that you can do that will withstand my hand or my fierce anger from you. There are some things possibly going on in our hearts and our minds and the way we live that God wants us to get rid of. The day of the Lord is coming. It speaks of an immediate judgment that's talking about in his history, but Jesus Christ is yet to come back. I want us to understand today that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to be coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. When you read in the Revelations, it talk about Babylon, the great whore. Don't we understand that the picture was Babylon that happened right here in history? When those people and those nations voted themselves up against God and God's people, God said, I will deal with this because my system was not set up for pagan gods. I'm the one that created heaven and earth. I made your very bodies. I formed you. Now you're to house my spirit within you. We go around sometimes every day and we forget about the great importance that God has put upon us to be, let's say, ambassadors for him. We are part of the family of God. If we are part of the family of God, that means we receive his judgment as well. But he has a mercy for us.
Anybody that will come to God, he has mercy for them. But when you reject, even if you are in the family of God and you turn away from him and you reject his word and you walk outside of his will, that your pattern makes you look like a sinner. Jesus said that by the fruits you will know them. Then God will deal with you or I accordingly. Did you know that? He will deal accordingly by the things that we have known about him, and even for those who did not know about him, because very nature that God has made speaks to his glory. Lord, have mercy. Listen to this. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger is coming upon you. It is coming. The Hebrews understand when he was mentioned more than one time, that means great. It's going to happen. It's like emphasis on this. Lord, have mercy. Listen at the third verse. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. God, in all of this, it still seems that he's given them an opportunity. God said to Abraham, he says, I will bless your seed. So even though God has given his judgment here, I'm going to rid the land. You're going to be burned up. Babylonians going to come in and they're going to burn the temple. They're going to burn much of your land. There's still going to be a remnant. I need some people who will be humble enough. Humble your heart before God. Turn from your wicked and sinful ways and repent. Lord, have mercy if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. There will be a remnant. Lord, have mercy. When Moses was upset with the people and God said, I will strike them off the face of the earth, Moses said, God, is that really what you want to do? The Egyptians say you brought them out here, but they couldn't keep your word. And it was just like you wasn't a God who was able. God said, I will keep my word before Abraham and there will be a remnant. Listen, we have to be humble before God. It seems that in modern Christendom or Christianity, there's too much the idea that you can live like you want to and there are no repercussions. You don't fall out of the faith. You don't fall out of the family, but keep living like that. See, God knows our hearts better than we do. Adam and Eve tried to hide before God, but they couldn't hide from God. Where are you going to go? David said, if I cover my head, you're going to find me. If I try to fly here, go there, you're going to find me. We can't hide from God. That's the wonderful thing about God's word, is he knows where you are. He knows where I am. He knows where you are. And his word goes in love, and it goes into our situation, and it tries to shake us up to see who he is, to see his light, to see his righteousness, and pull us back in line with what he would have us to do. And that's to follow his word through the good times, through the bad times, through the sad times, through the happy times. God wants us to hold on to his hand. We get so caught up sometimes in the things of the world that we will let go of God's hand because we feel like he is not or he is unable. He's always able. He lets us go through those unpleasant moments sometimes because we've caused them. Other times to make us to be conformed to his will, but not conformed to the ways of the world. When we realize that we can't do things in certain situations in and of our own strength, it reminds us, hopefully, that God is able. Look at Job. Job lost his family. The whirlwind or whatever it was came in and it killed him and said that Job was righteous. You'd think that Job would have had everything go his way. He did not have everything go his way, but God tried him and he let Satan come in there and he let him try him. But it said after Job got his mind right, God blessed him because he held on to the Lord. Now, will you and I hold on to the Lord? We just sang a few songs talking about, Lord, I am thine. These people were the children of God, but they did not hold on to his word. He told them years ahead of time, when you go possess the land, don't turn away from me. Seek your truth. Don't turn away from the Lord. There's some things that's coming on this earth that we have yet to see. Yeah. Some of us are going to want to turn away from the Lord, but we need to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he's going to start showing this world that I am the one who gave you the prophecy. I am the one who controls things. Though it looks like Satan has got his hand on everything and that he's controlling, I'm still in control. Whatever your situation is, seek the Lord. Be meek and seek him. That's what he was telling. Listen to this. In the midst of such a judgment, you think that the people would be like, oh my goodness. But he gives this little hope. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We said that Zephaniah's name meant hidden of the Lord. So just apropos that he should even be the one to even give such a ray of hope right here in the midst of such judgment. In other words, for us today, we can see that things are changing. Can you tell that things are changing? Even the very discourse of society, of politics, of education, of religion, it's all changing. It's welcoming everything. You got people who are supposed to be ministers of God who embrace things that God's word speaks plainly that should not be, but it's okay because we're living outside of the 90s. We're living in the 2000, the year 2000, whatever. Technology is great. We're in a progressive society is what you hear. God is not about progressing unless you're progressing in his word. Anything else that's outside of God's word is really like an abomination to him, because we're not holding on to his word. We could feel the very same way that some of these people did. Listen to this. God's going to start mentioning through his servant here some of the land regions that we've actually talked about. Listen to this. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ascalon of a desolation. They shall drive a shot at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Some of us may not understand what that is. Look, when we went through the judges, and before that period, we saw that the Philistines was a great thorn in the flesh of the children of God. When they were coming through there in a time where they kept having all this turmoil and stuff, God gave them judges. These judges were servants to help lead them, but they wouldn't listen to the judges sometimes. Well, some of them was wicked. It was almost a precursor to what we went through in the Kings and the Chronicles. But the Philistines was like a great thorn in their flesh. That's who Samson went to battle. You remember that? So I think it's around the 5th, 6th, maybe even the 7th chapter, when you look in the Judges, where it's like they took the Ark of the Covenant from them, and then they had to send it back because God was letting them know, you don't just treat my Ark any kind of way. This Ark is a mere representation of who I am. And so since it's understood that it's a representation, it's powerful. Don't touch it. I don't even want my own people to touch it. You don't treat the Ark any kind of way. Listen. You don't treat God's word any kind of way. Because when you do, judgment is coming. When that man reached up from Israel, he saw that it was coming back by the kind. He said, I'm going to touch it. I'm going to want it to fall. And he died. Got to keep God's word. Lord have mercy. God gives us a picture in his word of how powerful he is, how merciful he is, how just he is. But we don't take heed to his word. Humble yourselves and be meek and humble and follow God's word. Gary, follow God's word. Seek your truth. Don't let Satan trick you. Lord, he is the master of deception. Come in and have you and I get our mind off of what God's word says. In other words, the Philistines who once troubled you, I'm going to deal with them too. Listen to this. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. These people who was once powerful before you, these people who once terrified you, they ain't going to amount to anything before me. Who going to stand before me? The Bible says, in that day, at the name of Jesus, at his very name, every knee going to bow. Every means everybody. It don't leave anyone out. Every knee going to bow subservient, saying that you are Lord and King. You don't have a choice. You will bow the knee. Why not bow the knee right now? Amen. See, this is a hard message, but in the hardness, there is love. Yes, can't you hear the love? Yes. I will protect you. I will preserve you, but you got to stay within the confines of my love. I define love. You don't define love for me. The world will tear you up and spit you out. God says, I want to corral you, caress you, keep you, and empower you so that you can be my children. Television won't tell you that. The radio songs that you hear, they won't tell you that. Some so-called Christians won't tell you that. Some of us need to help some of the so-called Christians because they have part of the message. Can you help somebody? Damnation is coming for America. Damnation is coming for the universe. But when he sends down his son, Jesus Christ, we don't have to go in turmoil. We don't have to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give a pagan nation son. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes, trusts, and obeys. That yes. word means to trust and obey. Not just the mental exercise of saying, yes, I believe that you were born of a virgin. Yes, I believe that. It's more than that. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. Draw me nearer unto thee. Yes. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe, trust, and obey in him, you would not perish. You might die physically, but you know what? Though a man slay me, it's got nothing to do with my eternal life. It's got nothing to do with eternal life because my life is here to Jesus Christ. Yes. I have sought those things from above. Lord, have mercy. And all the other things were added unto me. If I never get a newer house, if I never get a newer car, if I never get a higher degree, my life is here to Christ Jesus. And when heaven and earth passes away, I will live with sweet Jesus. I will know then as I am known, and that which is known in part is going to be done away with, and I will live and reign with him. Don't you want to go reign with Jesus Christ? Lord, have mercy. Book of three little chapters. Three little chapters can say so much. They can wallop me. They can wallop you. Whatsoever things I tell you that were written aforetime, they were written so that you and I will pick up the word of God. That we will meditate upon the word of God. And we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. Whatever happens out there that's got nothing to do with us. But I tell you, God wants us to live holy lives so that the world can see. It's written for our learning so that we, through patience and comfort, it seems that this is not comforting. This comforts me. It does. It gives me a certain kind of, oh my goodness. Part of it shakes me slightly. Another part of it makes me go, wow. But it comforts me. Because I see that God's word is right. Yeah. You can go pick up a secular historical book right now and read about much of this. When we ever get to the book of Daniel, when we get to some of the other books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Micah, you can go pick up secular books, and many times they've left enough in there so we can say the word. They don't validate the word of God. God's word validates itself. But we see that they're speaking some of the same thing that God's word says. Comfort and hope of the scripture. We will have hope because Jesus Christ is, he's coming back. Lord have mercy. Three little chapters that we call. So, in other words, the Philistines, they're not going to cause you any more problems. Listen to this. David defeated the Philistines also, but it's like these nations that had been once defeated in a battle, a king would come up and then he would not give his heart fully to God. And then these other nations will come back and be a problem. What's the pattern? We had drawn on the board 7 weeks ago just the perimeter or figure of what it would look like to be a human body. Said God would deal with the nation of Israel as almost as if they were one person. Mm-hmm. So we could see the pattern of what the Heavenly Father and King desired. God doesn't want us to pick up things that we have let go by his holy power. The Bible speaks of when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man and there's inactivity. In other words, we're not wholly following the God's word. We're not trusting in God's word. We're not believing that it can help give us strength. We're not looking to him from whence cometh my help. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, to God who made the heavens and earth. We're not looking to him. He will burn those things up. But God doesn't want us to go back to things that he's told us that was wrong. Where he's given us strength before, and then inactivity comes in our lives, and we don't hold on to his hand. Satan left Christ for a season when he was up in the mountain, and it said for a season to give you and I to know that he wasn't finished trying to tempt the Son of David, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the holy anointed righteous Messiah. Jesus told his disciples, you're not better than your master.
That's right.
We're no better than Jesus. We'll never be better than Jesus, but we can share in his glory. Lord, have mercy. In other words, Satan's coming back to tempt you and I. When we perhaps get strength enough to move on, there's another trial, tribulation, situation, temptation that is coming. But it's about obedience. It's wrapped up in obedience. We can have the greatest theological discussions. Name terms that are in many volumes of books. Talk about pneumatology, talk about numerology, talk about eschatology, talk about many of those. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But when it comes down to the bottom line, God requires your and my obedience.
Yes.
And that's not to say, I am not saying don't talk about some of those things. We need it. Lord, I'm thankful for the ones who have gone on and studied to help us out with some of those things. But it's really about obedience. When God comes back and he has his son come back, do you think he's going to ask us, can you define eschatology and tell me about it? Let's have the analytical. No, he's not going to do that. I'm just a little excited. The book of Ephesians talks about how he gives some for the edification of the church.
Yes.
You and I make up the church because we believe, trust, and hopefully are obeying. Sometimes we don't obey all the time, but he wants us to get in the habit, not a ritualistic thing, but I trust you, God. What are you going to do now? There's a situation before me. I'm waiting to see how you're going to bring me out. We ought to be able to talk like Job sometimes. He said, remember this, Lord, Hezekiah. Remember, Lord. Remember, Lord. Can we ever say a remember, Lord? Let's go back to the text. You say, well, he got off track. Actually, I didn't. The Bible, let me tell you something. The Bible waves and interweaves itself together. This book is not just a book. This is a compilation of 66 books where about different authors have put it together. Different geological regions where they were. Different time frames, but the same message. All of them talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses told the people one time, he says, you men and brethren, God is going to bring of someone that's it's similar to myself, but he's going to be greater than I am. Yes, he did. They spoke of Jesus. Now, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's go back and see what possibly some application is for us. God, as Zephaniah said, we call it the fifth verse here. Listen to this. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no more inhabitants. You people by the seaside, this is we call it the Great Sea of the Mediterranean. Any of you right here, this is where the Philistines are. So Palestine are what we know as Israel and Judah. This is right here. We're going up in here, Macedonia and so forth. You people of the sea down here, you no match for me. One book says that the nations are as a drop in the bucket. How's a drop in the bucket gonna go against heaven? Lord have mercy on the one who created heaven. Woe unto you. In other words, Israel, woe unto you first, but now I'm gonna deal with the people who have given you problems. Lord have mercy. God gonna deal with the ones who give his children problems.
Don't
speak like that. That's a mess. That's an evil message. If God loved the world like that, he wouldn't be. Yes, he would. He loved the world better than the world understands. He said, get your sinful self cleaned up. Come to Jesus. Lord have mercy. Sixth verse. and the seacoast shall be dwelling, and the cottages for the shepherds and folds for their flocks. In other words, you're not going to have great places that you can go and abide in. You ain't going to have anything to count on. Lord have mercy, seventh verse. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lie?